Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Graw Pod. Doug Graw here and joined again by executive business partner Gary Randall. How are you doing, Gary?
Good, Doug. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing better than my bracket, my start to the baseball season for my teams, although the Twins are 2-1, so we'll take that. So I'm doing better than some of my sports fandoms. Maybe we'll put it that way.
Doug, the Twins are 2-1, and your favorite team pitched a no-hitter last night. It's not that bad.
That's true. That's very true. But I'm not going to win the family pool when it comes to March Madness. So there's always something to gripe about.
Well, that's a tough bracket to win every single year, and it's really been fun to watch this year. Interesting that North Carolina State has both their men and women in it. UConn has both their men and women in it. And a local flavor here in Minnesota, Minnesota State Mankato won the national championship with both the men and women this year. Unusual season.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff, no doubt about it. Well, speaking of great stuff, probably actually not that great of stuff for a lot of our trucking and logistics clients. Q1 is wrapping up. We're recording this here beginning of April. So as Q1's wrapping up, what are our clients seeing? Clients are really getting a flavor of, okay, this really is what the year is going to be like. No doubt things can change and a lot can still happen. The year is not over by any stretch of the imagination, but I think there's a dose of reality on the year as the first quarter comes to a close. Taxes are getting wrapped up. Audits are finishing. Your financial team is emerging from their caves of doing all their year-end stuff and are back a part of your leadership team trying to help you run the business. What does all that mean? I'm curious, Gary, when you're running a trucking company, what do you look for? What does the end of Q1 mean to you?
Well, I think you go into the new year with a dashboard in place and some KPIs that you're really going to focus on. And I think with the end of the first quarter, it gives everybody an opportunity to look at that and say, A, where are we at versus those KPIs? What do our results look like? But just as importantly, are we comfortable that we're measuring the right things? Did we have a good plan that we still like after Q1? Or are there forces like the economy and other things that have made us want to take kind of a second look at what we're putting our emphasis on?
Yeah. And the importance of that dashboard, and are you measuring the right stuff? And is that dashboard actionable? Is there stuff that you can do with it? That stuff is so powerful. You and I have another member of our team, Bob Goldberg, who does some fantastic work with clients on their dashboard. And I'm simplifying some of the stuff that he does. But when you really get into the ability to forecast and look at, well, what's going to happen if we can move a penny here in this cost? What can we do if we can improve our utilization a couple of bucks here? Or if we can reduce this downtime measure here so that you really can get a flavor of the art of the possible?
Yeah, it's interesting you use that quote because that was what was bouncing around in my head as you were talking. It's so true. If you're taking your data seriously and you really do understand, if we did this, then what, then that, really powerful stuff that companies can work with and help them manage their business.
Yeah. And what he does and what he's done for clients before and what you and I have helped some clients before is, okay, you're thinking about this strategy. You're thinking about making these changes. Well, let's see what that looks like. Let's forecast that out. And it's not so much about forecasting 5 years from now. I mean, it's great sometimes to do a little daydreaming maybe about what 3-5 years from now looks like. But really, what does your next 6 months look like? What does your next 9 months look like? And how's that compared to some of your cash flow needs of what's coming up and being able to share with your bank? You and I have had a lot of experience with banks in terms of the good days, the bad days, and all the days in between. And I think what we hear a lot of times is banks never want to be surprised. So if you've got good tools that really show your data and show your message and show how you're looking at the business and how you're looking at making the business better, banks can deal with a lot.
I think that's true. And I think that one of the points you made was the time frame. It is nice to look out. What's our 3-year plan? What's our 5-year plan? But the reality is your 60 to 90 day plan, that's actionable. Maybe your 12 month plan is actionable. So when you're thinking about how you want to manage your business and how you want to present the opportunities that you have to the banks and to the other people that you need to be reporting up through, it's important to be able to talk about things that can actually be done, that are actionable, that you can actually make an impact on.
I like your word actionable here, because I'm thinking about a discussion we had with a client at the beginning of this year. It was kind of reviewing their year before. There was a decent amount of lamenting within the client of, I wish we'd have acted faster. I wish we would have done this sooner, done that at a different time, whatever the case may be, because in their head, the signs were there. We knew this then, but we still didn't act for another 6 weeks afterwards, another 4 weeks afterwards, 8 weeks afterwards. We talk with that client on a regular basis. Talking with that client today is, we've pressed them. Okay, last year you said you regretted that you moved too slow. Okay, well, have you identified the 2, 3, 4 signs that you're going to look for that are going to lead to action on your part? Basically, can you get ready to make the decision so you can take out a little bit of that paralysis by analysis down the road? It's easy to make a lot of excuses when you don't have in your head, if this happens, this is going to be our plan B. This is going to be our pivot, and we're prepared to do it. That doesn't mean you can't still pause right before you make the decision to give yourself a little check and balance. There's nothing wrong with a little check and balance. But the ability to act fast in our industry, probably really in a lot of industries, but definitely in trucking and logistics, you have to be able to be decisive quickly. And if you know these are the 2, 3, 4 things we're going to be looking at to make this one or two decisions, that's huge. That really can move the needle on your end of your performance.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think that brings up the importance of these quarterly reviews. Never get too far out in front of yourself. So I heard you say a couple things in your comments. One was, you've got a lot of data and you should feel like you want to be able to utilize that data and make decisions off of it. But there's also a piece of it that is kind of trust your gut. You've got to understand that if you've been in the industry for a while, you probably have some pretty good instincts about what's happening. And don't be afraid to trust your gut. Certainly you manage through data and facts, but you probably know more than you give yourself credit for. So always try to remember that. And then the second thing I think I heard you say was, let's make sure that we're continually looking at what we're doing and making sure that we're on path. We go into every year with a game plan. Every good company does. And sometimes companies are reluctant to get away from that game plan, to change it up at all. That happens for a whole bunch of different reasons. One, they really believe in their game plan. That's a good thing, I guess. Number two, there's a little bit of ego in there. Well, I said this is the way we're going to do it, so that's what we're going to stick with. But I think we've got to always keep that open mind to things change. And in this world, things change quickly. And in our industry, things change quickly. And we've got to be nimble. We got to be nimble enough to be able to act on what we need to do to still stay in front of our business.
Yeah, very well said. So you're heading up your trucking company right now, Gary. It's end of Q1. Every trucking company is a little bit different. Let's argue for a minute. We're talking about over-the-road trucking. Over-the-road trucking, what are some things that you're looking at on your dashboard that you're really curious? How did we do in Q1?
I want to look at where my capacity level is at. Is it where I wanted it to be, where I planned for it to be? And as importantly is, what's the activity percentage of my capacity level? It does me little good if I have a lot of trucks and not very many of them are working every day. So I want to look at that activity percentage. I want to look at our customers and I want to understand who it is that we feel like we've built the network around. And I want to make sure that not only are we receiving the volume from them that we planned on, but we're also receiving the volume in the specific lanes that we were supposed to be able to handle for them. Oftentimes we get into conversations with our customers where they say, you asked for 10 loads, I gave you 10 loads. Well, I asked for 2 loads on this lane, 5 loads on this lane, and 3 loads on that lane, and you gave me 10 loads that all went to the same spot. So how well did our relationship really work in that instance? So I think you've got to look at capacity. I think you've got to look at freight volume. Then I think you've got to look at how that capacity is servicing that freight volume. Are you living up to the expectations there? Are you meeting the expectations of that shipper? And I think if you've got freight and you've got trucks to haul the freight and you're servicing that freight, and I guess the fourth piece would be, how is your pricing holding up? Did you price it correctly so that you're getting the return that you're looking for on those lanes? Those four areas, not in any specific order, I think have to be a part of any review of the business.
And I would add to that with trends. The Q1, what it is it's a nice thing to have in the calendar of, hey, I need to carve out the day or so to spend on this data. But you're not just looking at the snapshot of the data then and there. How is it trending over the last, call it rolling 3 months, but also what is it year over year? What is it year over year? And maybe even over the previous year. So you can see, okay, how much of this stuff is seasonal? How much of this stuff is things that we can control, things internally? You talk about capacity, drill down, ask some of those questions. Maybe the total capacity number is fine. Maybe even the total trend on the capacity number is fine. But is it in the right places compared to what's happened with your freight volume? Like you commented about, you may have the right number of people, but are they as active as you need them to be? Or conversely, you've got the right number of people and they're as active as they can possibly be. You don't have the freight for them right now, so that you can prioritize your efforts going forward. What is trucking and logistics? It's all the balls are moving constantly. So you're trying to get them as aligned and balanced as you possibly can every day, which makes it in some ways a great business to be a part of, because every day is a new challenge. How am I going to balance? How am I going to deal the cards? Or what is the phrasing you use? How am I going to play the cards that I've got today?
Correct. That's the fun of it. How do you play the hand you were dealt today? And every day you're dealt a little bit of a different hand. I think that's one of the things that makes it one of the most enjoyable jobs you can have, is to try to put the puzzle together every day.
And you can use this time frame to figure out, are there trends in the way the cards have been dealt? And should I be reevaluating my strategy for playing these cards on a day-to-day basis? I think you also got to throw in there also, you do also start looking at what's going on with your cash. I mean, cash is an absolutely critical part of the business. Do we have clients that are starting to use us as their bank? What is our order to cash? That's a process I know that you're a big believer in. I know that Bob from our team is a big believer in. What are you doing to look at your cash flow and how you're getting cash in on a day-to-day basis, where it's going out to, how fast it's going out to? Are you looking at that cash process closely, and are you cutting out wasted days whenever possible?
Yeah. And I think as you look at that order to cash, it's nothing more than a flow chart, really. It's saying, okay, at some point you decided that you wanted to try to do business with this company, and eventually you delivered a load, you billed the load, and the load was paid for. What happened in between those two endpoints? Oftentimes what you find is that what you expect to be happening really isn't. So it's an opportunity to retrain or rethink what you want to have done during the process. That's one thing that you'll discover if you take the time to do this. The second thing you'll discover is that sometimes the process gets held up for something as simple as Joe had the day off and there was no one trained in to back him up. Joe was off for a week on vacation. Joe's work sat on the desk and piled up for a week because there was no one cross-trained to do that work. The expectation probably of the manager and for sure of the owner would be that someone had been cross-trained and that Joe should go enjoy his vacation and business should be run as usual. That doesn't always happen when you really start to dig into things. So that would be something that I think we would both encourage companies to do, is to take the time. It's a fun process because it really does give you the opportunity to look at what are we expecting to have done, who are we expecting to do it, and when are we expecting them to do it. Then just as importantly, why are we asking them to do it? Is that a step that we could remove from our process and speed things up? Or is that a necessary step? So it's that who, what, why, when. Those questions get answered and you will find margin. Almost every time you will find margin if you look at your processes and clean things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's that pick your business book. You get the lean principles. You've got the Six Sigma disciplines. The point of it is, a lot of those processes or those philosophies are about looking at your processes closely, regularly, and eliminating waste whenever possible. A lot of sentiment, especially in today's freight market for trucking companies specifically, we got to watch costs, we got to watch costs, we got to watch costs. And you do need to watch costs. There's no doubt about it. It is not a robust freight market right now. But that doesn't mean we're not going to pay for things. We're not going to invest in our business. We are not going to invest in ways to make our business better. One of the best ways that you can find savings is in finding time savings and finding efficiencies and looking at your processes and auditing them to find out. I'm no math magician here, but if you can take your day sales outstanding on your receivables, if you can go from 52 days to 48 days, that's a really big deal. You can go from 48 days to 40 days. That's a really big deal. Have you explored all the ways to do more automated billing, to do more automated collections, to use more electronic fund transfers and other ways of processing payments? Do you have ways to collect shipment data more efficiently so that you can get bills processed quicker? Do you have checks and balances in your billing process to make sure the bills are done correctly the first time? How many bills are having to be redone on a regular basis? What waste is that adding to your system? We're using the order to cash process because it's the common process in transportation to look at, but you can take the same mantra, the same mentality, and go down the line of your processes. You need to regularly ask yourself, why are we doing it this way? Is there a way we can do any part of this a little bit better?
And I think that mentality thrives in a culture where your managers are confident in what they're doing and they're not threatened by someone coming in saying, hey, have you ever thought about trying to do it this way? Oftentimes what we see is we see very successful managers at companies that are in those positions for a long time. If the company doesn't take the time to review, it's easy for those folks to feel comfortable that I've got my processes in place. This is the way we do it. And no one's ever going to tell me that I can do it any better than that. I know what I'm doing. I've been in that role a long time. The challenge to that is when you start to talk to their people and you say, well, why are you handling it this way? Oftentimes the person comes back with the answer, well, that's how we've always done it. So that's the thing you got to be able to challenge, that mentality of that's how we've always done it. I understand where that comes from. I've lived in that environment, but it's not right. It's got to be challenged constantly if the company is going to continue to progress and get better with what they do.
So we go back to that dashboard. What I love about the dashboard, and dashboards done well, I think back to some of the ones that we've helped clients produce and Bob has helped clients produce. When you can get into and say to yourself, okay, this is what this costs us per mile, per day, per month, per whatever time period you're looking at. What happens to our business if we can improve that cost? We can lower that cost by 2 cents. And conversely, what happens to our business if we can get this revenue in here one day earlier? What happens to our business if we can improve utilization? A smile's coming to my face because I'm thinking about you in the room, Gary, of can I just get that extra load on Friday afternoons? Or can I get the driver started on Sunday evenings rather than Monday mornings? And looking for those improvements around the edges, because you make enough improvements around the edges and all of a sudden you actually really have cut into the meat of the business and you've moved the needle in a big way. And having that data available, knowing what it is you're looking at, and not just you as the owner or you as the CFO, but do your frontline managers know the parts that they need to know about? They're probably not going to care that much about how your equipment financing is impacting your bottom line. That's not probably for a lot of people to have a lot of opinions about. But do your frontline managers understand how they impact utilization? Do they understand how they impact order to cash? Do they understand how they impact customer service and what happens on shipper scorecards and so forth? Do they understand how they impact safety and where safety hits the bottom line?
It's their area of impact is what you're saying. Do they understand their job and their responsibilities, and they understand what they do and their team does, what they're responsible for, and how that impacts the bottom line to the company? When you start looking at these things, it's never ending. How many of us have sat in a conference room and looked around the conference room about halfway through the meeting and said, boy, for what we're getting out of this meeting, this is a pretty expensive meeting. That kind of stuff happens all the time, every day at every company in America. So it's paying attention to those types of things, those levels of detail, which cumulatively add up to some big changes in an organization.
So, Gary, we've talked a lot about this. You've got that dashboard. You've got the data. You're looking at things. You're like, things have got to get better. I got to figure out a way to get better. And I don't want to go down the path of, well, I'm just going to cut 10% of our workforce. There is a time and a place for that kind of stuff. But let's not go down that path. Let's go down the path of, hey, I think there's some things that we need to look at here closely, but I'm afraid of how much there all is. How do I get started, Gary? Where should I start?
You go back to that order to cash or whatever you want to call that process. You've got to understand that here's where my business gets started and here's where I'm paid for the product or the service that I've provided. As you do that order to cash, you will find probably more opportunity than you realized in terms of you thought things were being done one way and they were actually being done a different way. And that happens for a whole bunch of different reasons. I mean, sometimes the change in customer requirements doesn't get communicated clearly to the right people. Sometimes you have long-term people in positions that they've been in a long time, and they have trouble changing as the workflow needs to change and adapting new processes. But the important thing to do is to take a look at it and truly understand, is the business flowing through my company from start to finish the way I expect it to? Because oftentimes what we expect versus what is really happening are two different things. So that's your opportunity to go in and correct those things area by area, step by step. You'll have a much more streamlined process that has a much better chance of being successful and giving you the results that you're looking for.
I like that order to cash review, that order to cash audit quite a bit for the reasons you said, to build on it. Order to cash is easy for everybody to get bought into why we're looking at this. Everybody wants to get more money and they want to get it faster. In your personal life and in your professional life, everybody wants that. So it's easy to get people bought into, hey, we're going to take a look at this process and see if we can figure out a way to get more money in faster. So you don't waste a lot of time and energy getting people to buy in. The second thing is a lot of it is relatively straightforward. So you don't have to feel like, okay, we're going to go into the bowels of our system and there's so much coding things and software things that are going to have to get figured out. There may be some of that somewhere as a part of it, but you're not starting there. You're going to start at very high levels and pick your way down, so to speak. You use the parking lot phrase. You'll learn something along the way, like, okay, that's something I think we're going to want to look at later. It's a separate issue, but let's put that in the parking lot. Okay, we keep going down the line. Oh, another thing we're going to want to take a look at, but let's put it in the parking lot because we want to finish this job. For example, I know that something you talked about today and in the past is we've always done it this way. People think to themselves, well, we've always done it this way. This is the right way to do it. It's the good way to do it, and so on. There probably was a time and a place for doing it that way. And probably if you dust it off the job description says that's the way it's to be done. But is the reality of the business dictate that it needs to be done differently? And then you start getting into maybe some job descriptions need to get refreshed. Maybe we need to be rethinking, what do our folks need to do every day? What is nice for them to do every day? Where should their priorities be? Again, and some of that stuff will go into your parking lot. The cash to order review can be relatively straightforward. It's easy to get buy-in. And along the way, you're going to find a lot of things you're going to put in your parking lot to say, that's the next thing we want to look at. Because a lot of this stuff that we're talking about, it's going to feel like, I know I can or I should or I need to do those things, but that's a lot. So start with one. We suggest start in that order to cash world. I think it's a great way to impact a couple of different spots on that dashboard that you're looking at. And we'd love to help. This is something that we're passionate about. It's something we've spent a lot of time on. And if you're looking for help in this area, if you're also looking for help with some of your dashboards and how actionable they really are for you, give us a call. We'd love to help out.
Yeah, I think the fun part about it, Doug, is you get to experience that aha moment where you discover something by going through that process that was there all along. You didn't even realize it. And it turns out to be a big win for you and your company.
Yeah, we've seen some pretty significant movements in that day's sale outstanding metric of what you can do with auditing this stuff and making some improvements. So definitely encourage people to take a look. Well, Gary, thanks again, as always, for the time. Appreciate it. I thought it was a good discussion. We enjoy continuing to have these discussions and helping out clients however we can. In the meantime, everybody out there, keep being safe. We'll talk later.